Welcome one, welcome all to Whispers of Oxenfurt, a podcast based on the Witcher universe by Polish author Andrzej Sapkowski. As you can tell by the title, I decided to combine the Sword of Destiny and something more as they tell a somewhat connected story of Geralt and his search for Ciri. Make sure to stick around after I get done with the stories today, as I will talk about what I plan on doing in regards to the novels, as the next one is Blood of Elves, and dealing with spoilers and just certain ways that the podcast will change, but mainly stay the same. As I have nothing really more to add now, let's head to Brokilon in the Sword of Destiny. Geralt is on his way to Brokilon to deliver a message to the Queen of the Dryads, Ethne. Early on, he comes across the corpse of a boy no older than 15, an arrow clean through his skull. The boy, probably due to ignorance more than anything, did not heed the warning shots and paid the price. Further along, he finds a man, Freshenet, clinging to life and telling him to find the princess. More dryads come down on them, and Geralt bargains with them for Freshenet's life. The Witcher is assigned a guide, Brienne.
There, now let them dangle a while.
Who will take him to Duin Canel, the capital of Brokilon. After a night's rest, they stumble upon a giant centipede that is threatening a small girl. They dispose of the beast, with Geralt thanking Brienne for saving his life. And upon seeing the little girl, Geralt seems to recognize her from somewhere. She says her name is Ciri. She soon runs away, and after being chased down, says that she was to marry Prince Kistrin, but will not go to him. Geralt tells the Dryad that he will now take Ciri to Verdun, but that gets shot down pretty quickly. Geralt may leave, but Brienne will take Ciri to Ethne. They arrive, and after a brief reunion between Ciri and Freshenet, Geralt meets with the Queen.
Humans have no place in Brokilon.
She says Freshenet will be punished, but upon a defense by Geralt, she decides that he will instead become a stud to procreate. The Queen says that she will hear no further about a princess or not, that she is in Brokilon, and in Brokilon she will stay. However, later on, Geralt meets with her again, and this time Ciri joins in. Ethne gives a background on how the Dryads have been pushed back into the small patch of forest and kill most humans who enter. They speak of Destiny and Ethne's daughter, Morhen, and she asks Ciri to repeat what she said before Geralt arrived. From the text,
"Your Majesty, noble lady," begins Ciri in a broken voice, "don't force me to stay here. I can't. I want to go with Geralt. I must."
"Why with him?"
"Because it is my destiny."
Ethne turned. Her face was extremely pale. "What do you think, Geralt?" The Witcher did not answer. Ethne prepares to have Ciri drink the water of Brokilon, which the chalice bears the inscription, "The Sword of Destiny has two edges." She drinks from the cup, and it has no effect. She chooses to go with Geralt, her destiny. Geralt doesn't believe it is the actual water, and tastes for himself. Instantly, he is reminded, if you will, of his destiny, of Ciri and Calantha. The voice of Ethne rings out from an apparition of an ashen-haired woman. "The Sword of Destiny has two edges. You are one of them. But what is the other, White Wolf? There is no destiny. There is none. It does not exist. Only death is predetermined for us." The next morning, Geralt and Ciri put it all together and admit that he was the one to help her mother and father. She gets excited, but he only wants to leave Brokilon at once. They are soon confronted by a group of soldiers who stand around a caravan that was attacked. Geralt quickly deduces that the Dryads did not attack, and a fight kicks off. He tells Ciri to save herself
and she climbed atop a tree. At the last moment, Mousesack and some dryads, including Bran, arrive and save the day. From the text, "Yes, unlike you, I believe in destiny, and I know that it is dangerous to toy with a double-edged sword. Don't play games, Geralt. Take the opportunity that has been given to you. Make the link with Ciri into a normal relationship between guardian and child. Otherwise, this link could manifest in other ways, more terrible, negative, destructive. I want to protect you. If you wanted to take her, I would not be opposed. I would take the risk of explaining everything to Calantha. How do you know that Ciri would be willing to follow me? Have you had a premonition?" "No. I know because she fell asleep when you held her tight in your arms, and because she whispers your name in a dream, and her hand 6 years." "That's enough." Geralt stood. "I should move on. Farewell, bearded one. All my respects to Calanthe. For Ciri's escapades, invent something." "Your escape is illusory, Geralt." "My escape from destiny?" "No," the druid responded. "From her." The Witcher nodded and then vaulted into the saddle. Mousesack remained seated, motionless, using a stick to stir the dying fire. Geralt went slowly through the heather that reached his stirrups in the main slope of the valley toward the Black Forest. "Geralt!" He turned. She stood at the top of the hill, the little figure with ashen hair, looking defeated. "Don't go!" He waved his hand. "Don't go," she screamed with less strength. "Don't go." "I must," he thought. "I must, Ciri. Because I'm leaving forever." "Don't think that you'll get away so easily," she cried. "Don't even think it. You can't run away. I am part of your destiny, you hear?" "There is no destiny," he thought. "It does not exist. The only thing that is predestined for us all is death. The second side of the sword with two edges is death. The first is me. The second is the death that follows me step by step. I cannot, I have no right to expose you to it, Ciri."
"I am your destiny."
He heard cries from atop the hill, but with less strength and more desperation. With a kick, he urged his horse on and plunged into the damp forest, black and cold as the abyss, in the familiar shadow and benevolent, unending darkness. Something more. Geralt and his trusty mare Roach come upon a merchant, Yurga, in his broken-down wagon. His companions have abandoned him, and he tells Geralt he will give him whatever he wants if he should help him. At nightfall, monsters attack them, and although Geralt is victorious, he is badly injured. He awakens later on for a moment as Yurga and others load him onto a cart. He says only one name, Yennefer, and slips away. He dreams of her, and when they met during the Bellatin celebrations, the night of May, 1 year, 2 months, and 18 days, Bellatin. From the text, "We were made for each other," she murmured, "perhaps even destined for each other. But none of this can happen. It's a shame. We will have to separate when the day breaks. It can't be otherwise. We have to separate so as not to hurt each other. Destined for each other. Made for each other. But the one who created us should have thought of something more. Forgive me. I had to tell you. Go back to Sintra, Geralt. A dark time approaches." Geralt awakens and is informed that they have entered the territory known as Sodden. He takes another potion and slips back into unconsciousness. And we got to get used to that because that's a theme. He recalls the time he first went to Sintra to see his child of destiny. Speaking with Mousesack, he learns that Calanthe ordered Geralt to be killed before rescinding the command. Geralt also learns that Dunny and Pavetta were lost at sea. He meets with Calanthe, who tells him he has only one chance to claim his child. He says the boy is not among them, and she prostrates and yells, as she is wont to do.
Geralt says that he does not believe in destiny, that there must be something more. He also says that he was not a child of destiny, but was simply abandoned by his mother. Geralt gives his word again that he will not take a child, and if destiny should take revenge, it will be upon him. The Witcher comes to and finds that his wounds are healed as he is tended to by a woman named Visenya, his mother. He is too weak to ask what he wants to, and says that he will look her in the eye tomorrow. She essentially puts him to sleep, saying he will no longer care, and this will all have seemed a dream. Yurga tells Geralt that they are almost home, and that Visenya cared for him and nursed him. Geralt finishes his thought through clenched teeth, like a mother. He informs Geralt about the Second Battle of Sodden, where 22 sorcerers fought and 14 died, repelling the Nilfgaardians. Geralt climbs the hill and looks over the monument. A woman joins him and brings flowers. She questions him about the final name that Geralt refuses to look at. He thinks it is Yen and tells her to do her duty and take his hand. And I think considering that this woman is unnamed and there really wasn't anybody around there, that this is a personification of death. At that moment, Geralt either doesn't want to know that Yen is dead, that she died at Sodden. We also know at this point, with where we're about to get to in the next part, that he thinks Ciri's gone. And so if he doesn't have her, especially if he doesn't have Yen, then he was done. And him saying, do your duty, take my hand, lead me through the mist in the field, was essentially him saying, I'm ready for death. Again, Geralt awakens, and Yurga says the final name is Yol Grethin of Carreras, not Yennefer of Vengerberg. Geralt falls back asleep and recounts an earlier time he crossed the river and found Dandelion, among others, escaping the Nilfgaardians. We get his point of view on the invasion. This war is unique, the bard explains seriously. The armies of Nilfgaard leave behind them nothing but desolation and corpses, entire fields of corpses. It's a war of total extermination. Nilfgaard against everything. The cruelty. So I'll interject a little bit of historical insight here between the Nilfgaardian army and the Nazi military. So I don't believe it's really a coincidence that Sapkowski uses that terminology, given that he was born in Poland 9 years after it was invaded by Germany and only 3 years after the war ended. Using the background from the world of The Witcher, Nilfgaard removed and purged military commanders and started a lightning war, the same as Hitler did before World War II, and Blitzkrieg, which was their most famous tactic, literally means lightning war. The key to Nilfgaard was their Alba Armor Division, the pride of the Wehrmacht, the German army, were the Panzer Divisions, which literally mean armored. Dandelion goes on to tell Geralt that Sintra is in ruins and that Calanthe is dead with the rest of the royal family. Back in present time, Yurga and Geralt finally reach his home, and lo and behold, there is something there he did not expect. An ashen-haired girl with green eyes. It's just like they predicted, Geralt. Like they predicted. I'm your destiny. Say it. I'm your destiny. Yurga saw astonishment in the eyes of the Witcher. He knew that he would not understand the answer, but he waited anyway. With good reason. You're something more than that, Ciri. Something more. And there it is. We get through The Sword of Destiny, two books down, and next up are the novels. And so now I'll kind of tell you what I said earlier about how the podcast will kind of be more going forward. And what I plan on doing is, again, trying to keep it at the most 20 minutes and not really wanting to go longer than that. So starting next week with Blood of Elves, I haven't decided exactly how many chapters or pages I'm going to do it on per episode, because I'm not going to do the whole book in one episode. There's obviously way too much to do. But what I plan on doing is, whatever the summary is, keeping that to roughly 10 minutes talking about it, but not getting into spoilers. And then after that, and I will give ample warning, I will then from that moment on talk with full spoilers. Anything to the future, anything that could be anything I could think of, or any questions y'all may have. But I will give ample warning in case you are following along, as you will not get spoiled. But that is just a heads up, is if you have not read the books yet, starting with the next episode, it'll just be the recap. I'll say goodbye, we can move on, and then we will get into a spoiler section. So please email any question, any comment, anything you'd want to hear talked about. And again, this goes for anything in the future. So now it's all open. And to be honest, I really don't get that many emails. So if there's something you want to hear me talk about or just any thoughts on, I mean, I promise you, if you ask it, I'll talk about it because, hey, that's, you know, a little bit easier stuff for me to think about. Because I do get some comments about how I can make the podcast longer. And while I could, at the same time, because it's just me, I really only have my thoughts to go off of. And if there was somebody else, I could say something and then I could hear, oh man, I didn't think about that. And you can kind of riff in that way. But I don't really have that because I'm sitting here looking at two computer screens, talking kind of to myself. And sometimes maybe my cat comes by, but then if I look at her, she'll start meowing and that'll get caught on the mic. And so I kind of got a little, you know, either pause it or kind of push her away. So she's a good cat, but not the best podcast host. So email all questions, comments, suggestions to witcherpodcast@gmail.com. I am also on Twitter at CoachBrett4, that's CoachBrett4. I'm also on Twitch, but you can find all that information on Twitter as well. Next week, we get to the first novel in the Witcher series with Blood of Elves.